Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hi, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
Thank you for joining us at Cowboy Church right here on RFD TV. We are so glad you did.
And today we're doing the second half of the freedom message.
Right.
And there's it's called the law of grace. And there is a law that it makes us aware that we're sinners. Mm-hmm. If there's no law, we wouldn't have any awareness that we're sinners. And but when the first thing that God said to mankind was, don't eat of this. Mm-hmm. And then they're aware that something, there's a no.
Uh-huh. There's a rule. There's something.
There's a rule.
Yeah.
And so they went ahead and did like everybody else. They broke
right.
it. Mm. But in the middle of this, the really cool concept is that God's grace does away with the law. But it doesn't do away with our sin nature.
Right.
And so many people are confused that when they give their heart to Jesus, they shouldn't be tempted.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, but I ask this question often, and you've heard me ask this question when I was speaking. How many of you have ever, since you've been saved, you've never sinned? And I've never had anybody keep their hand down, you know.
Yeah,
or,
right.
raise their hand.
Yeah, right.
I've never sinned. Because the problem is we're still living this flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And part of working out our own salvation is that when we die, then we've worked ourselves out of the flesh and then we won't be tempted anymore.
Mm-hmm. You know, so we're going to be dealing with it the rest of our lives.
Yeah, the rest of our lives. And there's always going to be situations that we will have opportunity to sin. But if we fill our minds and our hearts full of the right stuff and we practice the right thing, then when we're under pressure, the right thing comes out.
Mm. You can tell right now this is going to be interesting. I'm going to sing a song and then Russ is going to speak and you're not going to want to miss this. Sit back and relax. We are going to Cowboy Church.
So I want you to listen to this song and I don't know what cycle you're in and what age bracket you're in. But whatever you do in your life, live it to the fullest and let God be your Lord and consult Him in everything that you do. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. His voice is her alarm. She rocks him as she feeds him, cradled in her arms. She says, I never dreamed that I would love someone so deeply. As she whispers in her arms, she whispers deeply. She says, I will always hold you close. Wherever I go, I can't believe the angel sent you straight from our fence to guard yours. And I will always, always hold you close to my heart. This is the moment she's prayed for and dreaded at the same time. He'll take the hand of another for the rest of his life. And as she pins on his boutonniere, a tear rolls down her face. She wipes it away, says, I'll be okay. And as they embrace, she says, I will always, always but true love never ends. And as he lifts her off to sleep, he whispers sweetly, he says, I will always, always hold you close. Wherever I go, and even if the angels lift you straight from my hands to God's song, oh, I will always, always hold you close to my heart. Yes, I will always, always to my heart. Wherever you are in that cycle of love, always hold them close.
We'd like to welcome Ken Mobley to Cowboy Church. This is recorded at the ICANN Spring Roundup. Welcome, Ken.
This next song I'm going to do for y'all, it's a new song. It's a little bit of a biography song for me. And, you know, we've got a lot going on in our country right now. We've got a lot of our soldiers and sailors that are overseas protecting us. And PTSD is a real thing. And, you know, I've had to deal with that a lot in my life. And so I'm going to sing this song for you guys. It's called Out Where the Pavement Ends.
He was raised on a patch of Georgia clay. Old tin roof singing every time it rained. Had a hand-me-down boots and a farmer's tan. That farm turned a boy into a man. Worked hard every day till the daylight died. Mama sang Amazing Grace every night. They never had much, but they'd always say, thank you, Lord, for your love and another day. His daddy leaned back in that rocking chair, looked out at that field like there was something there. Well, he said, I met Jesus where the pavement ends, down that old road and around the bend. Listen to me, son, if you're ever broken and you need a friend, just head on down that road and around the bend. 'Cause you can find forgiveness, you can make amends. Go and talk to Jesus where the pavement ends. Well, he grew up fast, turned 17, and traded that farm for olive green. Boot camp dust and a rifle in hand. Wasn't long before he was fighting in a foreign land. When he saw things no boy should see, and kept them buried in his memories. He smiled at folks and said, I'm okay. But the night brought back the demons that the day kept away. Well, one night he drove till the lights were gone. Could hear his daddy's voice like an old lost song. He said, I found Jesus where the pavement ends, down that old road and around the bend. Well, his heart was broken and he needed a friend, headed down that road and around the bend. Said, Lord, I need you and I can't pretend. Oh, come and meet me where the pavement ends. Got down on my knees in that old clay dust handed all my problems to someone I could trust. I found forgiveness and I made amends when I met Jesus where the pavement ends. Well, now I met my Jesus where the pavement ends. Down my and I made a friend the night that I met Jesus where the pavement ends. Yeah, I found forgiveness and I made amends when I met my Jesus where the pavement ends.
God bless you.
Is freedom important? Is it important to God? Yes. That's why he sent his son to die on the cross, to give us freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from sin. Freedom from death, hell, and the grave. Freedom from bondage so that we could experience wholesomeness. We could experience grace. We could experience God's peace living in us. And we could experience fulfillment. And we could be on God's team. And we could bring about God's will on this earth. See, he gave us a great commission. When we land in a place that we call freedom, where we're in the will of God, where we're in the promised land, where we're living out what God has us to live out, when it's God's plan for each one of us, we're in the middle of that. What we get to experience is fulfillment, and we get to fulfill the great commission. What the commission is: this, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's what we're doing now, preaching the gospel to every creature. And then it says, making disciples. See, we understand salvation is this. God draws people to him. We think through the preaching of the word, God has ordained that men be saved. But man, I got to tell you something. It says through the foolishness of preaching. God calls my profession foolishness. Through the foolishness of preaching, God has ordained that men be saved. And what it is this. The Bible says, no man comes to the Father unless the Father draws him. And when the Father draws him, it's our job to make the path straight and help them identify that they need a relationship with Christ and to lead them to the Lord and pray the prayer. But you can't do that to somebody that God isn't calling. There's no sense knocking your head against the wall. If God's not calling them, you're wasting your time. But what you do is you live as a testimony before them, and when God begins to knock at their heart, then you have a chance to deal with them over their relationship with God. But then he says, and this is the most important part, is go make disciples. If this whole process was set up in a human life, and we have understanding ways to do this, a human life is set up like this. You're a baby, and you're innocent, till you reach the age of accountability. Accountability in the Old Testament is 12 years old. At 12 years old, you're accountable for your own sins. And then at accountable, you go through the next process. It's called rebellion or teenage. And the teenage years last from 13 until sometime the kid starts catching on, somewhere hopefully around 16, 17. A lot of people it doesn't happen until 55, 60. It's just the wild days. But if you commit your life to Christ, it can happen as soon as early, mid, high school. You can actually be mature. And when you get maturity and you find a husband or a wife, then what happens is there's more family. And discipleship is raising the family so that they can be productive children of God later on. So if you're looking at life like this, as your spiritual life. If you get saved, you're a baby for a while. And then you begin to feed yourself and understand how all of that works. And it's not long until somebody will come into your life that God has put into your life and you get to disciple. Now, discipleship is not this, that I'm the guru and I'm the know-it-all guy. Discipleship is this. It'll be iron sharpening iron. It'll be a teamwork of somebody who wants to live for God, who needs help, and you as a person who wants to change the world. And both of you get your heads together and you begin to figure out what God's will is for both of you and begin to head that direction. You begin to change the world. Every great evangelist either has a great wife or a strong Christian friend. You need somebody that can bring accountability to your life. And it says, go make disciples. Go get a friend to change the world, is what he's saying. Our Great Commission requires us to grow up, requires us to be men and women of God. It requires us to know what the Word of God says. It requires us to understand that there's a relationship with God and we need to have experienced that. We need some directives from God. We need to have heard His voice. There's some priorities that we have so that we can be good at being a discipler. When we begin to disciple and bring people around and they begin to get involved in ministry, whether it's preaching or singing or whether it's working a job with employees or they're working a job and they are have bosses. Our job is to preach the gospel. Our job is to make disciples. Our job personally is to mature ourselves. That's all. That's all. Grow in the Lord, and He will allow the other things to happen. I want for you to be saved. I want for you to be mature, and I want you to be disciples. And in case you begin to misunderstand freedom, look at the second half of this chapter in verse 5. It's a wonderful chapter. Just so you can identify what's sinful and what's not going to be accepted. It says, these are the flesh. Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, or anything similar. They that practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those are the things you look at to see if you're living for God or not. So, well, I prayed that prayer back when I was 15 years old. I don't have to live by anything. I'm living by grace. No, if you're living and dwelling in these things, your walk with God isn't what it should be. You're not working out your salvation the way you should. You need to get a hold of the things and get it right. Because here's the things of the Spirit. Let's look at the difference. Here's first love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then it challenges us this. It says, keep in step with the Spirit. Well, this is staying in step with the Spirit. It's not conceited, not provoking one another. Whoever does these things, they are the sons of God. The challenge to you today is this. Freedom isn't so easy. Freedom has to be maintained. Freedom has to be cultivated. And we need to understand it in our lives. And then we need to support whatever effort that the government is using to bring freedoms. And we need to be smart enough that we understand between freedoms and bondage. In America, I did some research on freedoms. You realize that America only rates at about 80% in the freedom category. There's probably 15, maybe 20 different nations that rate higher than we do in freedom. But we are the world leader in making freedom. We're the world leader in enforcing freedom and causing freedom. And freedom is not something that is just doled out there. Freedom is something that has to be earned. It has to be aggressively sought for. But when you have freedom in every area, what you have is peace. And that's what we're looking for. We need to support the people who want to give freedom to different countries instead of trying to control and inhabit and manipulate those countries. What we have to do is we have to set up, this is what freedom is, this is what we're trying to support, and when you get there, here, you get to handle it. And if we'll do that, God will allow us to continue to be a great leader. And what you will begin to do, God will loosen the blind off of your eyes so that you can see in America who is bringing freedom and who is bringing bondage. Anytime you see a city government or a state government or a county government that's wanting to restrict and bind and bondage, that's not godly. They're not the people that need to be in office. When you see people who are trying to bring freedoms to people in the home, in the church, in the community, in the county, and in the nation, they are, whether they're doing it with God or not, they're trying to accomplish God's will, and that's God's will is to bring freedom, because God wants us to choose Him out of our own volition. And freedom is important. That's all you need to know about it. Freedom is important. You have a choice. You have a choice to choose Jesus or not. You have a choice when you vote. I'm not telling you to vote Republican or Democrat. I'm telling you, you need to understand that freedom is important to God, and bondage isn't. That'll help you vote better. It'll help you be a better citizen. And you want to raise your kids so that they can get out of the house and make their own decisions. You don't want to put bondage in them where they can't make decisions. My mom used to tell me, here's two shirts, take your pick. She wouldn't throw all of them out there. She'd give us two good ones, let us make our choice. Begin to teach us about freedoms. Freedom's important. You have a freedom today to accept Christ as your personal Savior or reject Him. So today we're going to pray this little simple prayer. The Bible says it takes two things to be saved. It takes your heart, believe in your heart, and confess with your mouth. I'm going to help with the mouth confession. You just believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead for this purpose right here. And you will be saved. You'll have a start in your life with God. And you begin to head the direction God wants you to go. Follow after me and pray after me these words. Pray them out loud if you're in your living room. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me. Come into my heart. I accept Jesus as my one and only Savior, and I pray in Jesus' name, amen. If you meant it, you prayed that prayer from the bottom of your heart, sincerely, welcome to the team. The Bible says that the angels are rejoicing. If you don't want to ever miss a rejoicing deal, stay on this walk with God, because one of these days we're going to be there watching the next one to get saved, and I love to be involved in an angelic rejoice. That would be a great thing to be a part of. God bless you. We'll see you next week.